This is Rita Schulte, and I'm back with part two of excerpts from the Bloomington Pantograph from Saturday, October 17th, Sunday, October 18th, and Monday, October 19th. I'll begin on Saturday with the obituaries, starting on page D3 and 4. Eleanor F. Arbogast, I-A-R-B-O-G-A-S-T, Arbogast. Eleanor F. Arbogast, 84, of El Paso, Illinois, formerly of Lexington and Gridley, Illinois, passed away at 9 a.m. on Thursday, October 15, 2020, at Heritage Health, El Paso, Illinois. A celebration of life service in private interment at Gridley Cemetery in Gridley will be held at a later date. There will be no visitations. Please view the obituary and share condolences and memories online at www.beckmemorial.com. Leland J. Armstrong. Leland J. Armstrong, 84, of Danvers, Illinois, passed away Friday, October 16, 2020, at Heritage Manor in Normal. Graveside services will be 2 o'clock Monday, October 19, 2020, at Park Lawn Cemetery in Danvers. Pastor Doug Hicks will officiate. Hainsel Funeral Home in Mackinac is assisting the family with arrangements. Memorials may be made and online condolences may be sent at www.hainselfuneralhome.com. Dorothy J. Connor. Dorothy J. Connor, 85, of Luther Oaks in Bloomington, died October 14, 2020, at the Healthcare Center. She was born July 20, 1935, in Alaska. Funeral services will be held at St. Mary's Church, Bloomington, on October 20, 2020, at 10:30 a.m., with the Reverend John Pham presiding. Visitation will be 1 hour before the service at the church. Interment will be at the Camp Butler National Cemetery at Springfield, Illinois. Funeral arrangements will be handled by Carmody Flynn Funeral Home in Bloomington. To express online condolences, please visit www.carmodyflynn.com. Elizabeth F. Glidden. Elizabeth Forster Glidden, 91, currently of St. Augustine, Florida, formerly of Bloomington Normal, Illinois, died at home on October 7, 2020. Cremation rites have been accorded to the Reverend Glidden, but no service is planned at this time. Giza Rick Hydu, H-Y-D-U. Giza R. Hydu, 75, of Bloomington, passed away at 1:45 a.m. on Sunday, October 11, 2020, at McLean County Nursing Home in Normal. His memorial service will be held at a later date. Kibler Brady Russman Memorial Home in Bloomington is assisting the family with arrangements. Online condolences and memories of Rick may be shared with his family at KiblerBradyRussman.com. Shauna Kellerhals. Shauna Kellerhals passed away October 14, 2020. Doris E. Penrod. Doris E. Penrod, 93, of Dongola, passed away at 12:15 p.m. Tuesday, October 13, 2020, at the Illinois Veterans Home in Anna. There will be a graveside service for family and friends at 11 a.m. on Saturday, October 17, 2020, at Friendship Cemetery in Dongola, with Jason Forby officiating. Military honors will be accorded by the Illinois Honor Guard and local veterans. Interment will take place at Friendship Cemetery. Family and friends are welcome to stay and visit at the graveside following the service and committal. Crane Funeral Home in Dongola is in charge of arrangements. To view the obituary or leave an online condolence for the family, visit www.cranesonline.com. And from Sunday's pantograph, A. Joyce, Ferry. A. Joyce Ferry, F-E-R-R-E-E, 90, of Bloomington, passed away at 10:18 a.m. on Thursday, October 15, 2020, at Bickford in Bloomington. Funeral service will be at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, October 20th, at Kibler Brady Rissman Memorial Home in Bloomington. Masks will be required and social distancing will be observed. Entombment will be in Park Hill Mausoleum. Memorial comments and condolences may be shared at kiblerbradyrissman.com. Sandra E. Lawyer. Sandra Ellen Lawyer, 77, of Bloomington, passed away at her residence Tuesday, October 13, 2020. Visitation will be held Wednesday, October 21st, 2020, from 5 to 7 p.m. at East Lawn Funeral Home, Bloomington. Cremation rites have been accorded. Lawrence Nani. Captain Lawrence R. Nani, USAF, retired, age 90, an ISU graduate, passed away October 15, 2020. Visitation will be Friday, October 23, 2020, from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Fred C. Dames Funeral Home, 3200 Black Road in Joliet. Funeral services will be Saturday, October 24, 2020, at 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Raymond Onatus, 604 North Rainier Avenue, Joliet. Interment will be in Resurrection Cemetery in Romeoville. To read the complete biography or for more information and to express condolences, please visit www.freddames.com. Charles L. Penn. Charles Lewis Penn, 84, passed away the evening of October 15th at his home in Normal. A mass of Christian burial will be held on Wednesday, October 21st, at 11 a.m. at Epiphany Catholic Church, 1002 East College Avenue in Normal. Masks and social distancing will be required in the church. Visitation will be at the church before the funeral, starting at 9:45 a.m. Interment will be in Holy Cross Cemetery, Normal, following the funeral. Carmody Flynn Funeral Home in Bloomington is assisting the family with arrangements. To express condolences online, please visit www.carmodyflynn.com. Doris A. Ritter. Doris Ann Ritter, 93, of El Paso, Illinois, passed away at 4:15 p.m. Thursday, October 15, 2020, at Heritage Health, El Paso. Family will receive friends from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. Monday, October 19th, at Calvert and Metzler Memorial Home in Bloomington. Visitation will be limited to 50 people in the funeral home, and masks will be required. A private family service will be held following the visitation. Pastor Jason Collins will officiate. Burial will be at East Lawn Memorial Gardens in Bloomington. Please view the obituary and share your condolence with the family and memories online at www.calvertmemorial.com. Rosemary Roberts. Rosemary Roberts, 91, of Normal, passed away at 9:27 a.m. Thursday, October 15, 2020, at her home. Private family service will be held at Epiphany Catholic Church in Normal with Father Eric Powell officiating. Interment will be in Funks Grove Cemetery. Carmody Flynn Funeral Home in Bloomington is assisting the family with arrangements. To express condolences online, please visit www.carmodyflynn.com. Clifford K. Segerman. Clifford K. Segerman, 90, of Secor, Illinois, passed away at 11:40 a.m. on Thursday, October 15, 2020, at Heritage Health Nursing Home in El Paso. A private graveside service will be held at Secor Cemetery in Secor, where military rites will be accorded at the grave. Reverend Michael Peters will officiate. Rissman Harris Funeral Home in El Paso is handling arrangements for the family. Online condolences may be sent to the family at www.rissmanharrisfuneralhome.com. Diane L. Williamson. Diane Lori Williamson, 80, of Bloomington, passed away at 5:14 p.m. Friday, October 16, 2020, at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington, with her husband and daughters by her side. A memorial celebration will be scheduled at a later date. Carmody Flynn Funeral Home in Bloomington is assisting the family with cremation arrangements. To express condolences online, please visit www.carmodyflynn.com. And from Monday's paper, Roseanne Cornett. Roseanne Cornett, 72, of Bloomington, passed away at Carl Broman in Normal on Saturday, October 17, 2020. The funeral for Roseanne will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday, October 21st, 2020, at Beck Memorial Home in Bloomington. Pastor Ryan Schumacher will officiate. There will be a visitation 1 hour prior to the service at the memorial home. Interment will be in Park Hill Cemetery in Bloomington. Beck Memorial Home in Bloomington is handling arrangements. Online condolences may be left at www.beckmemorialhome.com. Marie Louise Silla, 94, of Normal, passed away Saturday, October 17, 2020, at 7:09 a.m. at Heritage Health in Normal. There will be a funeral for Marie on Tuesday, October 20th, 2020, at 11 a.m. at Calvert and Metzler Memorial Home in Bloomington. Reverend Dr. Kurt Keller will officiate. There will be a visitation 1 hour prior to the service. Entombment will be in Park Hill Mausoleum in Bloomington. Online condolences may be left at www.calvertmemorial.com. Erin Lee Terhune, T-E-R-H-U-N-E. Erin Lee Terhune passed away October 15th, 2020. There will be a funeral for Erin at 11 o'clock on Tuesday, October 20th, at Eureka Bible Church, 1452 Church Road, Eureka, Illinois. Burial will follow services at Centennial Cemetery in rural Seeker. Rissman Harris Funeral Home is handling the arrangements for the family. Social distancing guidelines will be observed for the funeral. Memorials, condolences, and tributes may be sent to the family at www.rissmanharrisfuneralhome.com. Moving on now to state and regional news, we'll start with the Normal City Council. Council to vote on $370,000 for West College rehab. The design phase for a $9.35 million rehabilitation of West College Avenue could begin soon. The town council on Monday is expected to consider appropriating $370,000 in motor fuel tax funds to partner with Farnsworth Group to conduct Phase 1 and 2 design services for the West College Avenue rehabilitation project, according to town staff. The town budgeted $600,000 in motor fuel tax funds for the project. West College Avenue is an arterial street that provides access to industrial, commercial, and residential properties. Businesses along West College Avenue have said the road has deteriorated over time. The town approved committing the use of MFT funds to improve the section of West College Avenue from Rivian Motorway to White Oak Road at its June 22nd meeting. Town staff anticipate engineering the planning, environmental design and engineering phases of the project in November. Construction is expected to begin either spring or summer of 2023. In addition to road rehabilitation, the council will also consider committing financial support for a potential Constitution Trail extension, according to town staff. The town is seeking is seeking grants through the Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program to extend the Constitution Trail between Adelaide Street and Parkside Road, said Dylan Otto, Director of Engineering. The program provides up to 80% reimbursement for preliminary engineering utility relocations, construction engineering, and construction costs for eligible projects. A 20% local match is required if the town is awarded the grant. Council will consider committing $241,000 for the $1.2 million project, said Otto. The trail extension would include a multi-use path along Gregory Street from Parkside Road to Adelaide Street. It would extend the Constitution Trail 1 mile west and allow easy access to park amenities and Normal Community West High School, Otto said. In other business, council will hear a proposal to amend the town's public comments section. The public comments section currently requires all public comments must be germane to the meeting agenda. With the new amendment, the town will have two public comment sessions, one 30-minute period at the beginning of the meeting for any public comments related to an agenda item, and a second 15-minute period at the end of the agenda for those who wish to address the council on any matter. In other business, the council will hear presentations on a recent tree inventory study and smart city initiatives. The town will also consider several other resolutions, including a resolution to authorize a memorandum of understanding with the McLean County Regional Planning Commission for a pavement rating and assessment project, a resolution to award a $417,505.59 bid with up to a potential $5,000 bonus for early completion to SNC Construction, Inc., and authorize the city manager to execute agreements with Union Pacific and RailPros for the Main Street Water Main Extension Project. Resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into a 6-month lease agreement with Enterprise Fleet Management for 4 2021 GMC Sierra Double Cab 4x4 and 1 Chevrolet 15 passenger van. A resolution amending the rules for public comments at meetings of Normal Town Council and other town boards and commissions. The meeting is at 7 p.m. on Monday. From the front page of Monday's paper, the headline reads, Teacher Retirements Climb Amid Pandemic. At the beginning of 2020, the number of Illinois teachers opting for retirement was down from previous years. But after schools shut down in the spring because of the COVID-19 pandemic, those numbers climbed. Typically, the retirement season for teachers is between January and June, according to Dave Urbanek, Director of Communications for the Teachers Retirement System of Illinois. In 2020, though, there was a spike of out-of-season retirements in July, August, and September after many districts started announcing their return-to-learn plans for the fall. August 2020 saw a 67% increase in teacher retirements from the two August prior, with 217 teachers retiring across the state. In August 2019, 174 teachers retired, and in August 2018, 140 did. July 2020 showed a 38% increase in retirements from the 2 years prior, and September 2020 had a 34% increase. The state organization does not ask members why they're retiring, according to an October 8th report. Anecdotally, though, TRS says many members retiring in July and August said their decision was related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Locally, superintendents of Bloomington District 87 and McLean County Unit 5 say there has not been a dramatic increase in retirements. Still, with a statewide teacher shortage that began well before the pandemic, the need for qualified substitute teachers remains a challenge. District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley said the district doesn't track reasons why teachers retire, but said he had heard some moved up their retirement dates because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Certainly, it's had a small impact, but an impact nonetheless, he said. COVID has people who are in the pipeline to retire thinking about leaving earlier. But Riley said he doesn't think there will be any more problems filling positions than there usually is. The pool of candidates has been shrinking, particularly for English as a second language, bilingual, and specialties in secondary education, such as physics. And teachers aren't the only ones in shorter supply. There are fewer people wanting to get into administration, he said. It's been a very difficult and challenging time for my team, and we're not unique. There's always a concern about substitutes, said Riley. The district has a pool of more than 100 substitute teachers, and about 55 of them have been trained in COVID procedures. That's been an issue for a long time, even before COVID, said Riley. I'm confident we'll be okay. Superintendent Christian Welke said, from Unit 5, says she hasn't seen any surge in retiring or resigning teachers since the pandemic began. Nothing significant at all, nothing outside of typical school year, she said. We're fortunate. Weckel estimated one teacher has retired since the school year began. Some teachers, particularly in the elementary schools, had to be reassigned to teach remotely, since about 24% of students will finish the first semester in fully remote learning, Weckel said. With minimal teachers leaving the district, the teacher shortage hasn't been enhanced by the COVID-19 pandemic at Unit 5, but Weichel said there are always areas where you have a need to fill. Finding qualified substitute teachers and paraprofessionals has been a priority this fall, as it was in the last several years. It's been on my mind every year for the last several years because it's been kind of a continual need the last several years. I think more than 10 years ago, Weichel said. I would always be asking people to consider being a sub, whether it be a teacher, paraeducator, food service, just because in my mind, you can't have too many people wanting possibly to be a sub, because on any given day, you might have a greater need than on most days. With additional restrictions in place, staff members who need to take a sick day will need to test negatively or receive an alternate diagnosis to return to the building, so that just kind of adds to the uniqueness of the year, Weichel said. Statewide, more teachers have retired in 2020 than in 2019 or 2018, but the year-to-year difference is not as stark. In 2020, 4,059 Illinois teachers retired compared to 3,699 in 2019 and 3,869 in 2018. Compared to the 2018-2019 average, total retirements have risen 7% in 2020. From Sunday's paper, a story about election 2020 right here in Illinois. The headline reads, Themes Familiar in House Rematch. The blitz of TV ads targeting U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, Republican of Taylorville, and Democratic challenger Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan are one indication of the national interest being directed at this tight rematch. The challenger is making her second attempt to flip the seat, 2 years after narrowly falling short. Both parties at the national level have sought to attract attention and money to the race. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee identified Davis's district as one of 33 to focus on in an effort to expand the party's majority in the House. The DCCC has also put money into Londrigan's campaign through its Hold the House Fund, an effort to direct funding to 30 races Democrats see as critical to maintaining their majority in the House. The Congressional Leadership Fund, the House Republican Super PAC, pumped millions of dollars in fall advertising to highlight a number of races, including Davis's effort to stave off Londrigan's challenge. Davis was first elected in 2023 and is seeking his fifth term in Congress. Londrigan won a crowded five-way primary in 2018, but Davis, in November election that year, defeated her by 2,058 ballots. He won 50.4% of the vote, while she carried 49%. The candidates participated in two debates over the last 2 weeks and covered a range of topics including climate change, agriculture, and COVID-19. Healthcare remains a point of discord. Tensions over the subject grew during a debate on October 6th when the candidates were asked about the federal response to the coronavirus pandemic, the Affordable Health Care Act, and abortion laws. Londrigan, several times throughout the debate, pointed to Davis voting 11 times to repeal the Affordable Care Act, which also includes coverage for pre-existing conditions. Davis said procedural votes do not have an impact on a replacement or on the bill that's passing. As the husband of a 20-year cancer survivor and mother of my children who are at ISU right now, I never and never will sacrifice pre-existing conditions to coverage, Davis said to the Pantograph on Thursday. Londrigan also spoke with the Pantograph and said losing the Affordable Care Act will be a significant issue for the constituents of the 13th Congressional District. The urgency with which we have to elect people who are committed to protecting our health care, protecting the ACA, protecting benefits is critical, Londrigan said. Londrigan's campaign and its focus on health could benefit from Democratic presidential contender Joe Biden's attention to the same issue, said Laurel Harbridge Young, an associate professor of political science at Northwestern University. They're advocating that only a Biden administration can push forward legislation to continue to protect pre-existing conditions to the extent that narrative is more compelling to voters. That could certainly help Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan, Harbridge Young said. Davis is an honorary co-chair of President Donald Trump's re-election campaign in Illinois and could be helped by the president's message, "We're already recovering from the pandemic. We're going to keep moving forward. The economy's on the rebound," Harbinger Young said. Campaign reports show Davis had $1.7 million in cash available to start the month, while Londrigan had $1.3 million to begin October. Londrigan outraised Davis in July through September, $1.55 million to $1.2 million. Davis and Londrigan again debated October 13th at Illinois State University, but this time over climate change, a pandemic relief package, and police reform. Neither candidate supports the Green New Deal, which outlines a shift to 100% renewable energy and zero-emission energy sources, but they have different views on the issue. Londrigan said the proposal does not give enough control to Central Illinois farmers and that they should be included in decisions made about the land they make their livelihoods off of. Davis said he doesn't support a plan that would get rid of coal plants or nuclear energy plants, ultimately eliminating good union jobs. The two have very different views on police reform. Davis said he spoke with former Macon County law enforcement officials shortly after the death of George Floyd, an unarmed black man, who died in Minneapolis police custody. Public safety outcry and protests sparked nationwide after Floyd's death and the killing of Breonna Taylor, a 26-year-old black woman who was shot to death during a police raid on October 13th. He said he reached out to a former law enforcement administrator in Macon County to ask what could be done to assist with improving training or implementing de-escalation techniques. He was advised that Illinois is leading the way in those areas. Londrigan, who said she attended several peaceful protests throughout the district over the summer, said change is necessary, not just with law enforcement, but in many other areas. "I think that if people aren't seeing and believing that we need to address racism in law enforcement and beyond, then you're ignoring some very big problems," Londrigan said on Thursday. "We have to address what is happening in law enforcement, and that means implicit bias training and crisis intervention." Early voting will continue through November 3rd. This has been Rita Schulte. I've been reading the Pantograph from Saturday, October 17th, Sunday, October 18th, and Monday, October 19th. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Have a great week. Goodbye.